We're at the bottom of 160. What is it at the bottom? Huh? 304 at the bottom. Four lines from the bottom of the page will start. The Alter Rebbe is explaining the two names of Havaya and Elokim. The Alter Rebbe explains that Elokim not only conceals Yudke Vavke, but the fact that Elokus cannot be revealed in the world without the name of Elokim, but therefore Elokim is also Chesed. Even though it's an act of Gvura, but sometimes limiting something is not an act of severity, on the contrary, it's an act of kindness. Why? Because if it's too great to be revealed, and you don't limit it, they're going to get nothing. Like, for instance, if you want to teach little kids, and you're going to teach on your level of understanding, and you're going to reveal your intellect, the kids will get absolutely nothing. In order for the kids to get something, you have to limit your understanding, and most of the time maybe use 5% of your understanding, which basically, as far as you're concerned, seemingly is an act of gvura. Nevertheless, it's also an act of chesed, because that's the only way the child will be able to get the understanding that they want to get. The same thing you have in a similar way. Sometimes punishment is an act of chesed. A parent who disciplines the child, not abuses, but a parent who disciplines the child, that discipline, that act of gvura, of punishment, is really chesed. Because you're doing it out of love to teach the kid how to be a mensch. So he's saying that even though Elokim normally is an act of gvura, but really it's chesed because that's the only way Elokus could be revealed in the world. And he says, this is the concept of Shem Hu Elokim, because the whole concept of this concealment that we don't see Elokus, this is only from our perspective. From Hashem's perspective, there is no tzimtzum. Like we were discussing last time, if you put colorless water into a red glass, as far as we're concerned, the water is red. As far as we're concerned, we have a right, according to halacha, to say the water is red. Because what I see is what it is, in my perspective. So therefore, the water is red. But that's only as far as we're concerned, that it's limited, that it's red. The water itself, from the water's perspective, is colorless and is not at all limited in any limitation of color. It's colorless. The whole concept of Hashem hiding himself from us, that we don't see a lukus when you look at the world, is only as far as we're concerned. As far as Hashem is concerned, he is hiding himself with himself, which you really can't do, and therefore Hashem is really not hidden, as far as he's concerned. And he says, this is what the last thing Alter Rebbe is explaining, this is what it means, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, b'shamayim mimal, v'alaretz mitachas, in the heavens above and the earth below, ein eid, does not only mean there's no other God, ein eid means there's nothing but God, and as he's going to explain here, not even in a way of eid. Eid means secondary. Ein eid, there's not even anything secondary to God. There is nothing but God. Ein eid mulvadai does not mean there is no other God besides him. Ein eid mulvadai means there's nothing else but God. As a Hasidic expression, everything is Elokus, and Elokus is everything. There is nothing that's not God. It's just from our perspective, it appears to be a world, but that's not realistic from Hashem's perspective, only from our perspective. And he says, "Vein nikraz b'shem klal." That nothing in the world is called even with a name, afilu b'shem eid, not even the name of secondary, which means lashon tafel, inferior or secondary. Commandment is out. Yehuda v'eid l'kra. You're going to bring a proof from a pasuk to Yehuda, meaning va'ed, secondary, you're going to bring a proof from a pasuk. And it's not even kaguf, it's not even like the body, shutafel in neshama, which is secondary to the neshama, v'chayesh b'sechin, to the life that's in it. The Alter Rebbe is explaining, Hashem's relationship with the world is not even like the neshama and the body. Even though the body is completely bottled to the neshama, and the body understands no neshama, it's worthless. This is even more bittul than the bittul of the body to the neshama. And he says first in the brackets, this is what we say in davening every day, in Halleluka, Hallelu Hashem b'chayoy, I will praise God b'chayoy, Azamra l'likai b'eidi. So it says, how does Chassidus interpret this pasuk? Hallelu Hashem b'chayoy means, I will praise God with my neshama. Azamra l'likai b'eidi, simply the pasuk means, while I'm alive, I will praise God. B'eidi, as long as he exists. Chassidus explains, no. Azamra al-Hallelu Hashem b'chayai means, I will praise God with my chayis, with my neshama. Azamra l'alekai, I will sing to God, b'eidi, with my body. Why is body called eid? Because eid, we just said, means secondary, inferior. The body is secondary to the neshama. So he says, Shachayim nimshachem yishem avaya, chayis come, the neshama comes in the name of Yud Kevavke, Baha'id, Shuaguf, and the Aid, the secondary level, which is the body, which is secondary, comes to the name Alakim. Why is, now he's going back to before the brackets, why isn't it like the Neshama and the Guf? He says, Lefisha Neshama Eina Mahava Haguf Miyayin Liyash. Because, like we learned in the past, the Neshama does not create the body. And therefore, when the Neshama leaves the body after 120 years, the body doesn't disappear. Because the body has its own existence, that the neshama only is the battery of the body, but it's not the body. Elokus in the world is much more than that. Not only is godliness making the world alive, but godliness is making the world exist. And therefore, the existence of the world is dependent on God. The existence of the body is not dependent on the neshama. When the neshama leaves, the body is still there. It doesn't function. So the life is missing, but the existence of the body is still there. In the world, if Hashem would leave the world for a second, it wouldn't exist. So therefore, world is more nothing to Hashem, more nothing than the body is to the neshama. And yet, the body is nothing compared to the neshama. But the neshama does not create the body, while Hashem creates the world. And therefore, world is more nothing, in comparison to Hashem, than the body is to the neshama. And everybody understands that the body to the neshama is nothing. Ava Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Hashem, HaMahavis HaKel, that creates everything miyayin liyesh, from nothing into something. And if Hashem would leave for a second, the world would become nothing again. HaKel batul b'metzias etzli, everything is batul to Hashem, like the rays of the sun in the sun. Before, the Alter Rebbe explained that the rays of the sun, if they can shine 93 million miles away from the sun, they definitely exist within the sun. But when you look at the sun, there is no light in the sun. The only thing that exists up there is the sun. You don't even say, oh, I see the light and the sun. It's only the sun. Because the light, the rays that are in the sun, are so bottled to the sun, they're completely non-existent. And that is the relationship of world telukus. God created the world with speech. Speech that Hashem created are the rays of Hashem creating the world. But it's not the rays of Hashem that left Hashem, because Hashem's all over. So it's the rays of Hashem within Hashem, so therefore the only thing that exists is only Hashem. And therefore they tell a story about the Rabbi Yamin Kletzker, who was a very big lumber merchant, but he was a great chassid of the Alter Rebbe. He was once making, they didn't have calculators and computers in those days, They used their brains, used to think. He was making a cheshbon of his business, you know, the cheshbonus. And then he made the line, you know, sach hakol, and he wrote, Einod Miladei. In other words, and he didn't, I'm going to be cute, you know. When he did his business, and he made all the cheshbeinus, all the calculations, and he made the line, and he wrote, what's the sum total of my whole business? Ein eid mulvadi, that there's only God. He felt that it's all alukus. Obviously, it's a very lofty level. But the reality is, the only thing that does exist is alukus. So now, Tab is going to explain now, therefore, the pasuk has to say, not only via daita hayoyim, that you should know, but the pasuk continues, v'ashivaysa elav avecha, you really have to put it to your heart. Ki Hashem hu alikim, v'ashamayim ma'alas mita einoid. Now, the Rebbe says, because the way he asked the question at the beginning of Shayichim V'mun, he says, why does the pasuk have to tell me there's no other God? Of course there's no other God. It can't be any other God by definition. What does it mean? Einoid mulvade, so he explains, what it means is, there's nothing but God. And to have that understanding is very hard, and therefore the pasuk says, not only should you know, but v'ashivesa levach, you have to actually feel it. You can't think that anything in the world exists but Elokus. That's the only thing that exists. And he says, l'kach hutzrach hakosef, therefore the pasuk, it's necessary, l'hazit, to warn us, the Adaita Yem, you should know today. And not only should you know today, Vashivesa Elev Avecha, to put to your heart. Shleitai Lai Daitoch, you shouldn't even enter your mind. Shashamayim V'chol Tzvam, that the heavens and everything in the heavens. V'ha'aretz Umloy, on the earth and everything in it. Eim Dovod Nifre Bifnei Atzmi, is a separate entity from God. V'akodesh Boch, and what could you think? That there's a separate thing, like the guf, and Hashem comes and puts life into this body. And Hashem permeates the world, like the neshama coming into the body. And he causes the plantings to grow. The movement of the planets. And he moves them and leads them, like the neshama that controls the body. He said, that's not true. He said, this is what you have to think and realize, that Hashem is not like the neshama in the body. It's not that the world is a separate entity and Hashem runs the world. And by the way, many G'dayli Yisrael thought this. That Ozev Hashem Es Ha'aretz, God, Rama Kol Goyim Hashem, Hashem left the world, there's no Hashkacha Pratis, Hashem is one thing, world is something else, and Hashem is running the world. You know, remote control. Here, the Alter Rebbe is saying, what the pasuk is saying is mamish the opposite. It's not like the neshama coming into the guf controlling the body, but the body is a separate entity. You're not allowed to think like that. And he said, be'emes in a mashal de'melinim shoklau, the mashal of a neshama in a guf is not at all similar to the mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Why? Ki haneshama v'haguf, because the neshama and the body, heim be'emes nefrodim zemizem b'shoshim, the taka difference. The taka, two separate entities. And the only thing that the neshama does is control the body. But it doesn't create the body. It doesn't make the body. Because the existence of the body does not come in neshmasi from the neshama. It comes from the seed of the father and mother. And even after you're born already, you don't grow from your neshama. The neshama doesn't make the body grow. When through the pregnancy with the mother eats, and then you eat and drink. But we mentioned in the past, there's an interesting concept of Chassidus says, even though the neshama does not create the body, but it's still connected. And that's why, after the neshama leaves the body does begin to disintegrate. So it says, even the chayis that the body has as a separate entity is also connected a little bit to the neshama. But again, it's not the fact that the neshama leaves, the body disappears. Because the body is a separate entity, the neshama is a separate entity, and the neshama tells the body what to do. Elokus doesn't work like that. It's not that the world is one thing, and God is something else, else, and Hashem runs the world. The existence of the world, he says. When he's talking about heaven and earth, shakol atzmusin umahusim, their entire essence, nisava me'ayin ve'efes muchlet, becomes created constantly from nothing into something. Rak b'dvar Hashem v'ruach piv yisbarech, only with the power of Hashem. Hashem creates it, and if Hashem creates it, it's non-existent because its whole existence is the power of Hashem in it. And if its existence is the power of Hashem in it, it's nothing but Hashem. V'gam adayin nitzav dvar havaya le'olam. And even now, the word of God is constantly in it. V'shefeya bohem tamid, and constantly sustains it. V'chol rega, every second. U'mahava esim tamid mi'ayin liyesh. And they create it constantly from nothing into something. K'savis ha'er me'ashemesh, like the light of the sun. V'teich guf kader ha'shemesh atzmi derech moshul. Like the marshal of the ray of the sun in the sun. The ray of the sun in the sun is non-existent. To such an extent that it says in certain places in Chassidus that when the sunlight leaves the sun, in certain places in Chassidus it calls it Yesh Miayin. Even though it's not really Yesh Miayin, but the fact that in the sun the rays were non-existent. And they become existent, they become a yesh when they leave the sun. So in a certain respect, it's yesh miayin, something from nothing. By Elokus, it's a completely different thing. Elokus is all over, and therefore, the power, the ray of Hashem that keeps the world going, never left Hashem. So therefore, what is Shai Yuchad Ramuna proving, so to speak? That the only thing that exists in the world is God. Nothing else exists. It's Hashem made that we should think that world exists, because without the existence of world, we don't have the choice to choose good and bad. The Mefarshim and the Gemara Chagiga explain that if Hashem would make godliness felt, if Hashem would make godliness felt, we wouldn't have free choice. Because who would want to do evil if it's despicable? If a person knows that evil is really despicable, because it's against Hashem, and it's despicable, why would somebody want to do evil? So then we wouldn't have free choice to do evil. Because we wouldn't want to do evil. Hashem made evil look so good. The problem is the other way. He makes good look so far out. But the truth is, that's the only way we can have Bechira Chofshis. The only way Hashem can have a dwelling place down here, that we have a choice between good and bad, is by making good look very real and tempting. So Hashem concealed himself with himself, by himself, which is not a real concealment. But Hashem is so great that he can make a non-realistic, no, rather, a non-existent concealment be a real concealment. It's a real concealment. And yet, it's not a concealment at all. So Hashem is so great that he can make a non-existent concealment be real. Not only look real, be real. And that is the accomplishment of the name of Elohim. Elohim is this unique level of godliness that covers the world to such an extent that we don't see it. But the Pasuk says, what should a Jew know? Ki Hashem hu Elohim. Not that, like the simple meaning in the English Chumash, that God is God, b'shamayim imal. Hashem hu Elohim means Hashem, revelation, and Elohim, concealment. Hashem hu Elohim, it's the same thing. The Pasuk is not telling us God is God. I don't need a Pasuk to tell me God is God. Everybody knows God is God. A table is a table. God is God. Hashem Olekim means that the concealment and the revelation of God are both exactly the same thing. And the act of concealment is a chesed that Hashem did, that world should be able to exist, for us to be able to choose good from bad, to make a dira b'tachtoinim, the dwelling place for Hashem down here, to reveal the essence of Hashem. And that's all it's about. That's the whole story of life and world. And he says, "Im Kain, three lines in the bottom. Hey, betelim be'emes b'metzias legamini the taka really bottle legabi dvar Hashem compared to the word of Hashem. V'ruach piv yizbarich and the spirit of his mouth. Hamilchodim b'mehusi v'atzmusi yizbarich, which are one with Hashem himself. Like he'll explain later. Kebitul er Hashemish b'shemish, like the bitul of the ray of the sun in the sun. Rak shehein in gvuraisa." But this is the power of Hashem. The midas ha-gvura va-tzimtzum. In the power of Hashem's tzimtzum, la-hastir o-la-halim ha-chayisa shefei ba-hem, to conceal the godliness that's in the world making it exist, she-yonirim ha-shamayim va-oritz v'chol tzvam, that the heavens and earth and everything in it should appear ki-ilu ein dover b'fnei atzmei, as if they do exist, but it's only as far as we're concerned. Meaning, this whole concealment of God is only as far as we're concerned. But it's not real. From Hashem's perspective, there is no concealment. Like he says, this whole tzimtzum, this whole concealment and limitation is only letachteinim. But as far as Hashem is concerned, everything is considered nothing. Like the rays of the sun within the sun. From our perspective, the world looks to be like a world. From Hashem's perspective, there is nothing. And therefore, this attribute of Gvura doesn't conceal as far as Hashem is concerned. And therefore this attribute of Gvura does not conceal, God forbid, as far as Hashem is concerned, because it's not really something, but God is Hashem is Elokim. Which means, by the way, and this is a very important, in a very practical level, when a Jew comes along and says, I have a problem, an issue, doesn't matter what the problem is, that doesn't allow me to serve God. Is that a realistic problem or not? Is that a realistic statement? It is not a realistic statement because as far as Hashem is concerned, there is no problem that doesn't allow you to keep mitzvahs. In our mind, it's a problem that seems to be stopping us from keeping mitzvahs, but it's not real. It's an illusion. Because like we said, to give you an example, you can't tie somebody's hand behind their back. You can't tie their hands behind their back if you're a normal person and say, okay, I want you to write something for me. Or I want you to do something for me. I mean, it's idiotic. You can't tie the hands behind the back and expect them to do something. Right? It's impossible. Hashem can't give us a problem that stops us from doing Torah mitzvahs and then demand from us to do Torah mitzvahs. So, the way we look at things is, we say, oh, I have a problem, so therefore, how can Hashem expect me to do mitzvahs? It's the wrong approach. You have to look at it the opposite way. Hashem wants me to do Torah mitzvahs. And therefore, this, that he tied my hands behind the back, my hands are really not tied. It's loose. And all I have to do is move my hands and I'll see that they're open. In other words, it depends which perspective you're coming from. If you're coming from a perspective, Hashem said to do mitzvahs. So therefore, nothing can stop me from doing mitzvahs. In my eyes, it appears that my hands are tied behind my back. That's because I didn't try to unloosen them. But if I loosen them, I can see that I could do the Torah mitzvahs. You can't say, my hands are tied behind my back, so therefore I can't do it. That it has to be. Hashem wants me to do it, therefore my hands are not tied. That's the approach. Kids try to get out of that with schoolwork also. I can't, I can't do the homework because. That's because they don't want to do the homework. If the attitude is getting the homework done, you already find a way how to do it. But in a more general perspective in life, it's a very important concept. The whole concept of Tzimtzum, that you can't do something of the problem, is not realistic. And the proof of it is that's not realistic because Hashem told you to do the mitzvah. And if Hashem told you to do the mitzvah, so what do you mean? He can't stop you from doing what he wants you to do. Sometimes Hashem does stop a person from doing a mitzvah. But then Hashem Taka doesn't want you to do the mitzvah. We mentioned many times, we'll just finish with, it's a very important concept. There's an expression in Chassidus, not in my modern, but there's an expression in Chassidus, Mesiras Nefesh means jumping off the roof. But Mesiras Nefesh doesn't mean jumping from the ground up. You could jump off a three-story building, but you can't jump from the ground up. It's impossible. What does it mean? There are certain times Hashem puts a person in a situation that God is not allowing you to do the mitzvah. And we spoke about this many times. To give you a simple example. A Jew in Russia was doing what they had to be doing, and the Russians locked you up in jail. The communists locked you up in jail. And they take away your tefillin. So, Masidu, and it's not that you did anything wrong that you could have said it was your fault that you ended up in jail. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. They got you, they locked you up in jail, they took away your tefillin. Now, Masidu's Nefesh for tefillin would mean I have to walk 5 miles to get a pair of tefillin. That's called Mesiras Nefesh for tefillin. You're in jail. You're locked up. They took away your tefillin. You don't have tefillin. Okay? So now, what's the story? So obviously, Hashem doesn't want you to put on tefillin in that case. So what does Hashem want? Hashem wants that you shouldn't come along and say, okay, listen, God, it's your problem. You don't want me to put on tefillin. I don't want to put on tefillin. Tough luck. That's not what Hashem wants to see, if you're going to feel bad that you're not putting on tefillin. Like we said, in California, we don't have the problem. But you know, in Russia, in the winter, it was very hard to do Kiddush Levana. Because, mamish, the winters were full of clouds and heavy-duty Russian winters. So, there's no Levana. Okay? Now, what are you supposed to do? There's no Levana, there's no Levana. So a Jew can come along and say, okay, listen, God, you made the clouds, not me. Tough luck. Okay, so I won't do a bracha this month. Or Hashem wants, like Rabbi Lubavitcher, when he couldn't do Kiddush Levana, he wrote a pinyon into the Tzemach Tzedek that if he doesn't do a miracle, get the Levana out, he's going to die. That means it bothered him so much that he wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah that it made him sick. So obviously, if Hashem makes no Levana, or Hashem makes you put into jail that you don't have tefillin, obviously Hashem doesn't want you to put on tefillin. What does Hashem want? Hashem doesn't want you to do the mitzvah. What Hashem wants from you, He wants to see how bad you're going to feel that you're not able to do the mitzvah. That's what He wants to see. Somebody, get more practical in today's world, somebody, God forbid, gets into an accident and they're not able to put on tefillin. Today we don't get locked up in communist jails. Somebody's in a hospital, you can't put on tefillin. Of course you can't, but gosh me, it's not possible. Okay? So, what does Hashem want? He doesn't want you to put on tefillin. Obviously, you're in a situation you can't. Hashem wants to see how you're going to react by not putting on tefillin. How bad you're going to feel about it. Based on that, that's your putting on tefillin.